Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
It's The Jeremiah Show. Tearing back the curtain on music icons, pop culture, and food gods, we're bringing you the hottest guests from around the globe. With your music business authority, LA personal development commentator, Mike Gormley. The Jeremiah Show is sound designed by master sound engineer, Dr. D. He's a restaurant and bar fixer. He's opened and fixed over 200 restaurants, bars, and hotels. He's a partner with legendary drummer Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui. And he's your radio host. Step aside, Superman, from A Race Around the Sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
Welcome to the Jeremiah Show. Dr. D, I don't know about you, but being in the restaurant, hotel, nightclub business all these years, over 30-some-five years or 35 years plus, you tend to stay up late, right? You get off, you got all this adrenaline.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you, you worked in a restaurant a long time ago.
I worked at one of these diners in Phoenix called Jerry's.
Yeah.
I did work a few nights. It was open 24 hours. Oh. It was one of these diners that had the big long countertop, across. And then around the windows, like it had the booths. Yeah. I'm going to say it was a love-hate experience.
Well, I think we've all had those jobs at some point. I pretty much love it, but you stay up late, especially when you start out young in the business. You know, it's like you work until midnight or so, if you're in the bar business, till 2 a.m., and you're up late. And then when you go home, you just still hear the dishes and the guests and the laughter, and you can't go to bed early. I mean, you just cannot go to sleep. You've got all that adrenaline going. You hang out with your friends afterwards, and you go out and blow all your money at the bar.
And back when I was doing it, you could still smell the cigarette smoke.
Yeah. I'd go home. God, I remember the smoking sections. Yeah, that brings back memories.
Yeah.
But what I would do, what I got into this habit young, was that I would listen to smooth jazz. There's a great station in L.A. Hardly any commercials, played smooth jazz. And it released the day and the, mm-hmm. and all the things that you've been through that day, and really became kind of a tradition for me. I almost cannot sleep without that kind of music, or wind down without that kind of music. So if you are a lover of smooth jazz, as I am, especially in the late evenings when the world gets quiet and my mind starts to forget about the day, I want to go into different worlds, kind of a relaxing world, letting go of that stress.
Yeah.
With the smooth jazz soundscape. I listened to our special guest today, Paul Taylor. He really helps me get there. It helps me relax and takes me to those other worlds that I'm talking about. And that's without any extra help. It's just, I'm just talking about relaxing and letting go of the day. You know him from his 25 years of bringing some of the of our very favorite music. This man plays his instrument with great skill and mastery. It's as if it is naturally just a part of him, and that the notes were sent to him and then played for us. It's almost as we've taken, that he's taken his soul and he's exposing it to us. His new single, Straight to the Point, went to number one on Billboard's Smooth Jazz Airplay chart right now. Our special guest today, of course, is Paul Taylor. He's a contemporary smooth jazz saxophone recording artist. And today on the show, so happy to have him on to introduce us to his new album. Mm-hmm. It's called And Now This. It's released on Peak Records. It's available everywhere. Welcome to the show, Paul. So nice to have you.
Thank you so much, Jeremiah, Dr. D. Glad to be here. We got it going.
Yeah, we do got it going. We're going to get it going this hour with you. And Paul, where are you at right now? Are you in Las Vegas? I know you live out there, right?
I am exactly in Las Vegas in my studio across town and all dialed up and zoomed in and zoomed in.
Is that a jazz hairstyle you're wearing?
You know, I don't know what you'd call it, but just kind of an updo. I kind of came across about a couple years ago. I've been rocking this style. Kind of like, you know, I still got the long dreads.
Turn one more to the side. Let me see that again.
So for the radio listeners, you got to go to the YouTube channel and check out. Paul is...
Look at that. How long are you in the chair getting that done?
Richard's just jealous of hair in general.
not that long, really. I just get... French braid going this way and a little clip going back that way and maybe like less than 10 minutes and I'm ready to go.
Did you know we have one of the world's best saxophone players? And you had no idea, Paul, that the first thing we were going to ask you is about your hair. He's like, next question, please. But Paul, I mean, it's almost as if, and this is, now I'm getting silly, but it's like your sax blowing that air back and your hair is just it's almost like we're on the journey with you. It's just it's like a powerful statement. Anyway, welcome to the show. So you're in Las Vegas, and I was going to get to this question earlier, but how much does Las Vegas inspire your music? I would imagine that city would inspire someone like you in certain ways, and does it, Paul?
Well, you know, Jeremiah, I think, in the long run, it does inspire me because, you know, wherever you're at, you want to be in a, you know, good place, a good place, you know, in spirit or in the flesh and the spirit, and just be safe and have influences around you like nature or interiors that just make you feel at home. So I do have that here. And, you know, I've been here a long time, since like 1978. So, like Vegas, I've seen it, like all the changes throughout many decades of different changes and stuff. And you just roll with it. And I feel totally at home and at ease here. And, you know, enough to do my, give me inspiration so I can just think my ideas and musical ideas and get down to it.
And so you've been there a long time. And I would imagine it's probably a great place for gigs and for what you do and for the music business to play with some great artists, right? And to do what you do. And so originally, I would imagine you probably moved there for some reason. Is that true? Was there were you playing in the area, or did you? Was it? Were you already there because that was the place, you know, that you picked as home, or was
the reason I moved to Vegas was I'm originally from Denver, Colorado, born and raised, and then 18 years old, senior year in college. During that year you're planning on going to college or doing whatever you're going to go with, you know, with the counselor and my parents, and like the next step was try to get into college, try to get a music scholarship. Applied to a number of different schools, and the best offer I got was University of Nevada, Las Vegas, UNLV. So I took that and off to Vegas in 1978. That's what brought me, the music brought me here and education to Las Vegas.
Is it true they have a slot machine in every classroom?
they might have at one point, but now not in every classroom, but you know, Vegas, like when I was going there, it probably still is, it's diversified so much, but UNLV was known for, we had a great music program, but mostly for the, hotel administration.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sure they made a lot of,
that would make sense.
Hotel executives from,
they have, you know, for sure. It's a good, great school for that.
Why the saxophone?
Well, okay, funny story with that. So my parents got myself and my brother, we were seven and he was six, and when parents get your kids into like baseball or football or sports organized activities. So for us, it was youth band. So in the first meeting with the director pretty much picked the instrument for me and my brother. He looked at him and said, okay, we're going to start you on clarinet. We're going to start you on the saxophone. Serendipity.
Lucky you.
That's how I was chosen for the saxophone. I just stayed with it, and here I'm talking with you guys like decades later.
I'm sorry for all those clarinet players out there, but I think you got the cool instrument. I had the clarinet. I got handed the clarinet when I was in school.
Oh, my.
And I don't know if I've ever told the story, but it's not about me today, but I'll tell it real quickly. This is why I have nightmares about the clarinet. I didn't do my practice, okay? So it's all my fault. But the school, you know, they have the pageant at the end of the year or whatever, with the performance.
Yeah.
And I had a solo with a clarinet.
Oh.
And it was Mary Had a Little Lamb. So I could hear it in my head when I blew, but I never learned how to play it. And when I got up in front of everybody and I played Mary Had a Little Lamb, just going, And so I have nightmares. I have nightmares about the clarinet. Everybody laughed. And I gave up my music career.
Was the saxophone just
I wish I had the sax. I would have probably practiced the sax. Yeah.
But Paul, when you picked up the saxophone that first time, or did it take time for you to get comfortable with it? Did it just fit right away?
It took a long time. Yeah, it was just like, you know, a 7-year-old kid picking up an instrument. You just got to be squawking and, you know, calling the mallard ducks and stuff. And you know, absolutely, I took it. You know, I just, you know, was in it right from the very beginning as just a newbie, and beginning band, intermediate, just worked my way up the ranks. Beginning, intermediate band, gold sash. We were in an organization called the Denver Youth Musicians Gold Sash Band. So they had, you know, beginning band, intermediate band, and then the final level gold sash band. I made it to that level and got first chair and all that stuff. And
wow.
Yeah, just cut my teeth on that and paid dues on that and learning all the, you know, through there, age seven to like 16, I was with that and learned all the fundamentals of playing and all that, and got off to a good start.
I know Jeremiah's got a bunch of questions for you, but I want to ask you one more here real quick. And that has to do with the saxophone itself. Have you ever done any research on the creation of the saxophone, which the creation of instruments, musical instruments of all types, has always fascinated me, how somebody came up with the idea. I played the baritone in band in high school. You know, carrying that thing around, which is just shy of a tuba. I've never researched that either. But have you ever? But have you ever done any research or seen how they make them? I mean, it's incredible. What an art.
Absolutely. You know, there's so much involved with a saxophone and as well as other instruments. Like, so I have actually, you know, a while back, I've learned that the saxophone was invented by Adolf Sax. I believe he was a Belgian gentleman, Adolf Sax, named after him, saxophone. They call it the saxophone. And long, probably in the, I don't want to say 1800s, but long time ago.
Yeah.
So, and then they went through a certain phase and different keys and all that. There's like a C melody sax that they don't even use anymore. But if you find one, it might be kind of cool, or collector's item. But they came down to the alto sax, soprano sax, the tenor sax, the baritone sax. They got bass sax, contrabass sax. They got the sopranino sax. They got sax with, you know, bubble gum, you know, barbecue sax. Anyway, yes. Yeah, so I definitely checked out, you know, the nature of my instrument, the origins of it, and
cool.
You know, you heard of a French horn? Like they kind of go like that.
Oh yeah.
If like you unravel a French horn, it's like 10 feet long.
Yeah.
So Wow. Just a good story of like how the instruments are made. And so the sax is just the conical tube, and then with all these different holes in it, bell tones, and then there's like a intricate series of rods and rods and keys that all interconnect with each other. So it's very it's amazing how it works.
Yeah, my sister didn't like it when I unrolled her French horn. It never sounded the same after.
Well, that's really interesting about the different holes and the different ways that the air travels, you know, from your lungs to through the horn, and then creates these they really are soundscapes. And I can't think of it's an overused word, but it's so incredible. How do you, is it a conscious thought of how you, it must be in the training and the learning of playing the sax, but how to manipulate all of the different tools on this instrument to create what you do, Paul, is it even something you can put into words?
You know, just I can just say that, you know, you just start at the beginning and just go, mm-hmm. you know, step A, step B, step C through all the way to Z and more of that, you know, subgroups through those and all that. And so, yeah, you just put, you know, get the mouthpiece, blow into it, get to and try to, you know, you're going to squawk for many years. And then as you get your embouchure, it's called, mm-hmm. once you're going to get that trained, like, then you kind of go from there and learn all the, you know, learn all the fingerings. And then, you know, and then doing that, you're learning the music, the fundamentals of the music, like the whole note, the treble clef, the eighth notes, 16th notes simultaneously, so you can become a musician as well. So it's like all that encompassing. So yeah, you just take it one step at a time, like anything else, and then it just doesn't come. It's so undaunting, but it still takes a second to do it. You know, which is a kind of a good thing in a way. I think you need to pay dues that, like, you just can't pick it up and start just, you know, blowing all over the place. So I paid a lot of dues, so it's good to see, you know, a lot of people look for shortcuts, but there's no shortcut. You just got to put the work in.
Well said. And really, then it's the instrument is only one part of it. You are just as important, and your muscles and your all the training and the experience and the, you know, it's the two belong together. It's so cool how it comes like together and you create what you do.
It's like the instrument is an extension of Paul.
Yeah, right. Well, and I brought up the Las Vegas thing because I've brought this up not a lot in the past, but I really do kind of hear when I hear music, I hear it in colors, or I see colors.
Oh, wow.
And really only one musician has told me that's the same for them. I think it was Maude Margot, the Fiona Apple's sister that was on, and she said she sees things in colors and hears them in colors. And I think when I think about the smooth jazz and the late nights, you know, and winding down, I see it in like blue, soft blues and pastels like that. And I think when I brought up Las Vegas, I think there are a couple cities that also, to me, feel like jazz. And Las Vegas feels like it would be a really great inspiration for jazz, for a jazz musician. And I don't know if that's true or not. If I play it, I could tell you. But New York, I mean, obviously, it feels like a jazz city, right?
New Orleans?
New Orleans, yeah. There's a few. And so, Paul, that's why I was asking. I mean, the desert's so beautiful, and the city is also, you know, Las Vegas, but it is beautiful with the lights in its own way. And it's, and I just feel like it would be a good creative city for what you do. But,
you know, I agree with everything you said. Pretty much, to me, like, seeing how I see music, it's, you know, I never really thought about that. I just hear it and just like react to it, and makes my body move,
yeah.
Group to it or not. It depends on whatever, you know, whatever it is. And so I guess at some point, at some time, I could see colors, or I just see realism. I just like relate to like real life experiences, or real like, you know, just bopping your head down the street, or just tapping your foot. Just like, if it sounds good, it sounds good. If it doesn't, then to you, it's, you know. And so, you know, I kind of seen, when I got the scholarship and came here to Vegas, and then, you know, it was more obviously, and probably to me, it's kind of still is known as more show business kind of town. Like when I got in the late 70s, it was like, it was more like the headliners that were kind of on their way out, like kind of come to pasture, like the Dean Martins and the Frank Sinatras and those people in that ilk. Yeah. And then they were, you know, had their headliners on at the hotels, and they just stayed there and just rotated around. And then like, so it was like, there was some jazz there, but it was predominantly, I would say, more like showbiz kind of things. And like production shows, like the Follies Bergère, stuff like that. And then over the time, it still took a while before it like became, going to Vegas was a mainstream, because even like as through the years when I played in lounges for several years there. And, and so when I did finally got my record deal, you know, working hard and writing my demo songs and getting it up and like making contacts. And sometimes I would kind of like downplay my Vegas. Hey, where are you from? Well, I'm Las Vegas. But then sometimes people would go like, oh, you must be a lounge. Yeah. Vegas had, so in other words, Vegas had a stigma.
Right. Like I can see that.
Lounge lizard, basically. Yeah. So that wasn't good to me. That's not good. But, you know,
but you paid your dues.
More than that. I wasn't like, you know, I'm trying to be just a jazz artist, like, not just someone displacing the lounges. So I kind of downplayed that. So to your question, it kind of like, wouldn't this really seem like a jazz town to me? But like, you know, of course now it's like, everything's diverse. You know, Vegas is totally cool. You know, totally diversified. The gaming, we got the food there. We got the shopping. Everything's just like right on. Like the fact, you know, we're not like 6 months behind in the fashion style. Right. Everything, you know, we got celebrity chefs here.
Yeah.
You know, it's not quite as cheap to eat here because the food's so good and stuff now. And of course, the gaming's there. So it's just more diversified in all the ways and culture. So, you know, it's still maybe a little more toward jazz can fit in there as well, and not just the show busy stuff.
Do you miss those old days of Las Vegas? Do you like the new Vegas? Which one does Paul Taylor fit into more? And if you were born into it as an era,
I kind of like both. A little bit of both. Yeah. I like somewhat the older style, the older version of it, in the fact that just just easier to get around a little bit, but I like the new way now because it's more corporate. It's just more, you know, with the internet, of course, you know, with the technology as well, we have the internet, everything's so quick and all that. You can just dial stuff up on your phone and find information and stuff like that. So I think a little bit of the old way, but more of the new way, like a quarter of the old way and three quarters of the new way.
Well, I bet the new way, the internet and all that played into the new album, because you recorded this or created the album over COVID. And I know without the collaboration, without the internet, the musicians, you know, couldn't be face to face, or people across the country, and the collaboration, I know, with the internet really did help. And we've got to take a real quick break. We're talking with Paul Taylor. He's our special guest today. Contemporary smooth jazz saxophone recording artist. He's bringing and introducing us to his new album. It's called And Now This. It's released on Peak Records, available everywhere. So during the break, do me a favor and go follow Paul Taylor if you aren't already, and check out the album. His new single, Straight to the Point, which we will be playing in its entirety at the end of the show, so stay tuned for that, is number one on Billboard's Smooth Jazz Airplay chart. And we're also playing portions of 6 new songs from the album through the interview, like right now. I'm going to tell you what you are going to be listening to when we get back. Paul, maybe you can talk a little bit about this. It's Quitting Time Somewhere. This is Friday at 5. And we'll be right back.
Hi there, everybody. This is Ann Hitch, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. We are Ann
and Heather,
and we are better together.
Thank you.
My name's Danny Trejo, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. And on it, I'm talking about my cookbook, Awesome. I got a documentary coming out, a record called Satisfy My Soul. Check it out. Trejo's music, Jeremiah, your love.
The Jeremiah Show, your show to hear the best new music and exclusive artist interviews. You won't hear personal interviews like these anywhere else.
Hi, this is Johnny Valenti. I'm the owner of Birdland Jazz Club in New York City. For nearly four decades, going dark during the global pandemic taught me how important the arts, especially music, are to each of our cultures and our health. Musicians literally bring life and joy to our daily lives. Radio shows that support musicians and music, like the Jeremiah Show, are so important in keeping music alive. I hope that you will keep listening and supporting musicians. Please support the music. And please come and visit me at Birdland when you're in New York City. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We're with Paul Taylor on this special show. Oh. We're playing the new album, And Now This, by Paul Taylor that he released. You have an opening question here, Dr. D, before you get to mine.
I ask Paul, first of all, great music. I loved putting these tracks into the session. Give us your comparison, your observations as to how jazz and the blues work together, because it seems to me like there's a lot of jazz that could be bluesy, and even the blues, if there were no lyrics to it, could also maybe even be jazz.
Okay, Dr. D. You know, I think what we have with the jazz and the blues have in common are the basic structure of the. Of like 12 bar blues, or it could be like 16 bar blues, something like that. And then it kind of differs from there. And also in some of the phrasing, but then it kind of differs. Jazz kind of moves a little bit beyond the blues, and then it adds more. It just kind of goes beyond in its, not just structure, but just in chord progressions. Not like 1-4-5, 1-2-4-5. And then just goes, you know, just, through composed, as you could say. So, but it also absolutely does have that, you know, grounding, you know, force, that the similarity, that kind of blues, jazzy blues, bluesy jazzy. Play something bluesy jazzy, you know.
Mm-hmm. And is it traditionally known that blues and or jazz are an American invention of sorts?
I would definitely believe so, because definitely jazz was born here in the USA, and I believe blues as well. So, asking for names, they did it, but maybe like, you know, like Muddy Waters and all of those people back then, and like, you know, with jazz, you know, like back with like, like even before Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie, like Sidney Bechet and clarinet and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't know about it, but definitely homegrown here in our country. Yeah. So for sure, we have something to be proud of. You know, we have, it started here.
We're going to give out, this is the Paul Taylor jazz and blues class. We're learning so much.
I love it. Teacher.
Paul, you've been just on the scene, in the music scene, in this genre, jazz, smooth jazz. You've been out there a long time, really giving us some great music, a great catalog. And I wish these were my words, but they're not. But you've been doing this for over 25 years.
Wow.
And You've been described as you continue to push the sonic boundaries of contemporary urban jazz. How do you stay creative? How do you, and with a new album and now this, how do you approach a new album and a new project and stay creative after, you know, inspiring and contributing so much to this genre of smooth jazz over the years?
Thank you so much, Jeremiah. Just, I just keep things like in the moment, present moment, and don't let things get like overwhelming to me. Like, okay, if I've been doing this so long, oh my God, this new album, what am I going to do? I got to like live up to expectations. Mm-hmm. I just kind of live in the moment, like within myself. I know I have talents that in music and, just playing my horn and just getting the ideas and making songs, collaborating with other people in music and making great music. So I just like take each project on its own merits. And at the time we're doing it, and just take it like most of my albums are just like start from an open slate, blank slate, and just kind of build from there and let it take on the form it's going to take on. And like with no pressure, and just like build the best songs you can at the time. And at the same time, grab a song or two from back in the day that you were just burning to bring up to life back, you know, and retool it, you know, also bring in like a cool cover song that you've liked, you know, and, or someone like has an idea, I'm all open to any ideas we have. And so we just kind of go from there, like any of the given producer I work with and myself, and just, we just go at it and just get crazy with it and go with all our might, you know? And so then that's how I do it. Basically, pretty much in each one, just take it on its own merit. So don't get too hyped and just don't kind of even keel. That's my personality. I don't get too high. I don't get too low. Just kind of keep it even and just kind of flow around, go right along with
and
the flow.
And it comes to you, right? Do you find that you're more receptive to the creativity, to the notes, to the composing and the music structure, just with that way that you approach being not too high, not too low, the way you're almost a little bit more open as an antenna, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just, definitely you got to, should surround yourself in anything you do. Like, you got Dr. D on the, on the technical stuff, and, I use my producer. He's like 10 times better than me, like 100 times better in like all the technical aspects. But what we come to, in other words, surround yourself with great people.
Yeah.
And then then the creativity just like, the synergy is more than you can count. And so then ideas start flowing and bouncing when you bounce ideas off each other. And it just like, that's the creative process to me. And so I just try to make the most of that each time and without having a lot of pressure, and then just kind of just keep going and do it. Knock it out, you know?
Yeah.
Jeremiah, I think that in the next segment we ought to touch upon, because he's going there, the etheric or spiritual aspects of jazz.
And especially as it applies to the new album.
Yeah, exactly.
And now this. I would look at you and I would, if I could say this, and I don't know if you agree or not, but in a way you're telling your story through music. You're a music storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
Are there themes that inspire you more than others? And were there themes on And Now This that inspired you?
Oh, good question. I would say that definitely things inspire me, like pretty much, but not really one thing, but then and not really one thing over another thing, but just, happiness inspires me, like, but like just seeing the world and life, it could just be like having a great moment when like everything goes right in the day, everything's on time, and you get in a line and it's a short line, you've got to wait in line somewhere, or mm-hmm. You can just be like, seeing like some nice flowers blooming, like the great right in bloom, perfect color. Just things, even like, things like that, that are esoteric, or physical. So I just like everything that's really cool. And
is it hard to capture those when you get inspired like that? Do you go, oh, I got an idea and I got to get to my sax and does it come to you like that?
Not so much like that, but it does come like later on, like say in naming the songs, the compositions. Mm-hmm. That's when those visuals come into play. Like, man, that just reminded me of, XYZ that reminded me of those flowers over there, reminded me of, like, you know, getting off at five, you know, Friday at five Friday when at you're five. Off of work, you know, or like, you know, epic dream. Like, I mean, I just had the most awesome dream. Like, you probably couldn't remember all of it, but you remembered enough of it to be so great, you know, things like that. And, but, yeah, just like pretty much like, but the inspiration is like kind of, if I hear something like a good beat in my head, or like, you know, like a drum beat or like a groove, like, rhythm section kind of groove, or like, melodic things, I get, mm-hmm. you know, curious in my head at any time. I could be in a store and mall shopping and hear something. And then I, you know, get my phone out right here and put it on the, voice recording app, just hum it in there, man. And like,
oh, very cool.
You know, listen to it later. It might not be anything like, oh, this is like, doesn't, I don't know what I was thinking about, but then delete it. But if it does, you just keep going on there and document it and put it into my computer, you know, into the sequencer program and flesh it out and see where it takes you.
Mm. I love it. I love that. I love that. The tricks and the Paul Taylor tricks of the trade. Paul, we're talking with Paul Taylor. Paul, we've got to talk about a couple of songs now that we've played, but we'll have to do it when we come back on the other side of this break. Friday at 5, which you just mentioned, we played And Now This, coming back from our break, and now we're going out with The Face of You. Could you speak to The Face of You quickly before break here and talk about that song?
Certainly, Jeremiah. So, The Face of You, I believe that's number three on the sequence of the record. And, you know, like I'll say this, some songs kind of like, they run the gamut. Some songs kind of write themselves, and some songs you kind of find, you'll get the title like, okay, in the middle of it. And then sometimes like some songs will be like, oh my God, like this is kind of hard to get to nail something definitive to get a title on. So, this one kind of fell in between, like, wasn't like a long time, but then it kind of felt like more toward the end, like, well, we got to get, what's a good name for this song? So the song's really special because, I'd never really done a song like this. It has like a triplet meter to it, like a shuffle meter, like a triple. Yes. So thinking like, wow, like what can we title for that? And so, my producer helps me. We write these songs together. So we co-write these songs. So, he brings ideas in, and we both just bring here. You got just any titles? Just bring them into, like, text them to me, and we just flesh them over. And so then, like, it just like has like a gentle, has a beautiful melody to it on the hook, and then so like, you know, The Face of You. Like, I think that came from my producer Dino. That was one of his suggestions, and so like, you know what? I like that. Let's ride with Face of You.
Now, is there a person, the face of you, that you're thinking of, or is it just the face? It could mean it could be that to anybody.
It could be anything. Mm-hmm. It's just a generic way of, like, you know, someone seeing like the face of somebody, they, you know, the loved one, or, you know, just.
Yeah.
I like that. Just kind of encapsulate that into that. Absolutely.
All right. Paul Taylor, we're going to listen to The Face of You right now. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is the Daniel Emmett Show. I've stolen this moment from our host, Jeremiah. He's asked me to give you the title of the song, Che vuole questa musica stasera? And that is a song that I fell in love with when I heard it for the first time, used in the soundtrack of the movie The Man from U.N.C.L.E. back, I believe it was in the mid-2010s, and just had to record it, and it is going to be a part of my upcoming album releasing later this year.
Thank you. This is Miles Copeland. Yeah, I just had the honor of speaking to the Jeremiah Show. Who would have believed that little old me would have the opportunity to speak on such a prestigious show? And they even talked about my book, my memoir, Two Steps Forward, One Step Back, My Life in the Music Business. So it was a great pleasure to be on that show, The Jeremiah Show.
The Jeremiah Show, the only place to hear the Mike Gormley host interview series, bringing you iconic music business managers, musicians, and the players who have created your favorite music from 1960 to the 2000s. Find all of Mike's past interviews in the Jeremiah Show music catalog on thejeremiahshow.com or your favorite podcast sites.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We are talking with a very special guest today, contemporary smooth jazz saxophone recording artist Paul Taylor. His new album is And Now This. If you're just joining us, it's on Peak Records. His new single, you probably heard if you listen, a fan of smooth jazz, and you listen to smooth jazz stations. It's number one on Billboard Smooth Jazz Airplay chart. So honored to have this gentleman here with us today, and we're talking about the album a little bit, and we're getting to know Paul Taylor a little more. Follow Paul on Instagram at Paul Taylor Sax, and on Facebook at Paul Taylor Sax 1. You can also follow him on Twitter at Paul_Taylor_Sax. Welcome back to the show, Paul. So good to have you here. We just played Coming Back In, the Epic Dream.
Yes, that's Paul, tell us about the
epic
dream
title
here on Jeremiah FM Jazz.
Yes. I love it. Yes, Epic Dream. Geez, that should be number four on the sequence of the CD. So just one of my favorites actually of the record. I mean, they're all favorites, but don't get me wrong, but like definitely one of the outstanding. And so it starts off like almost like that kind of dreamy guitar, ding 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 ding, like kind of with a chorus on it, like almost like there's a famous song kind of way back, No Doubt did a song when they're Don't Speak, kind of starts a little bit like it reminds me of Don't Speak, that kind of starts that dreamy guitar with like a little bit of a rhythm. But anyway, so it goes into that, and then goes a nice beat, and then like it has these middle sections of it that is like kind of like in a dream, just gorgeous chords, and like I was able to just connect with, you know, with the cool melody on that, and just it, when so anyway, all when it's all said and done, it's like an epic dream, like you're in like the best dream you could ever have, whatever that could be. And, you know, I'll let everyone figure your own dream out, you know. But and then like the chorus has a really powerful, like, you know, it's dreamy, like the one section is really dreamy, but then the main part of it is like just really like you just like jumped off like a mountain cliff with the best parachute, and you just like, there's nothing, you could just jump off with no parachute, nothing will happen to you, you could just fly away, and just like just the most epic things you could think of, learning to fly or whatever.
If you just woke up, that would be an epic dream.
Just it has a power, but it also has a power to it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
power
sure.
As well as just the dreamy, like sweet dreamy stuff. And so you know, I thought of that one myself, and just like, you know, I like epic dream. You know, I'm not sure what one of us had brought it to the table, and we like agreed on it, so we had epic dream.
Well, I hope, you know, for the listener out there, you're getting, you know, good 1 minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes, and the full song at the very end, the new single. You're getting a good you know, a good listen.
Yeah.
But I really encourage you to, you know, hopefully you've taken my advice at the break here and you bought the album or downloaded the album and you can really explore these songs more after you finish listening to this interview. Just finished listening to the interview first, and then you've got all this information with that album. And that's one of my favorite things to do with an album is when you really, you kind of know a little bit about the song, or you look at the jacket, or you,
yes,
you know, you look at the artwork, and then you explore the titles, and then you, you know, you do your own interpretation, and even better, you experience that with someone else. And it becomes a memory now, you know, in your life. And this is one of those albums that really encourage you to do that. You're going to enjoy it,
Jeremiah,
quite a bit.
Where can you get the album?
I want to send people. I'll tell you. I mean, you can get it everywhere. But I always want to ask the artist, like you, Paul. Where would you direct listeners to purchase the album so that they're supporting you? Where do you get the most benefit? You know, I know if I send them to Spotify, you get pennies every time it plays. But where could they really support you as an artist?
You know, I would say that all, you know, every bit helps, whether it's Spotify or any kind of streaming. But I would say, you know, Amazon's always a good source, but I would say, go to my website, which is obviously Paul Taylor, then paultaylorsax.com. And just like, you don't have to go any farther. Just scroll down the front page, the cover page, and you'll see like, it'll go down for a little ways, but like the first one is like, hey, listen to Paul's new CD and now this, and there's like a link right there. And I believe it's, oh, just like four letters, ORCD.com.co.co. And just click on that, and that'll take you to all, you know, Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, that you can in turn buy it, a physical copy. And the other ones you can stream or download. And I think that would be the best way, pretty much. Pretty much go to my site, but I'll,
what a great shot of you on your website there. That's a great photo.
Thank you.
Okay, well, you heard him. I guess we've got to take another break, Dr. D. But since you're making me take a break, I'm going to give out all of Paul's information again here for you. Okay. This is our very last break, so stick with us. We've been saving some really good stuff for the end. I'm just going to tease you. Paul Taylor's new album is And Now This. You can follow Paul on Instagram at Paul Taylor Sax. Facebook, find him at Paul Taylor Sax with the number one. And on Twitter, Paul_Taylor_Sax. You can also go to his website to get the album, read his bio, find out where you can see him at different at his gigs. He's got a great store, a great photo gallery. And that is paultaylorsax.com. We'll be right back. Last break. Stay with us.
Hey, everybody. I'm Art Alex Hucks from the band Everclear. And we're going to be on tour this summer on the Summerland Tour 2021 with Everclear, Living Color, Hoobastank, and Wheatus. Hope to see you guys out there. Take care.
Here, make sure you find me on Spotify, where you can find all of my latest music, and make sure you tune in to The Jeremiah Show.
Check out The Jeremiah Show Facebook and YouTube pages for exclusive videos of our Jeremiah Show guest interviews.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We are spending this, we have spent this really great hour with some really great music from the new album by Paul Taylor and Now This. Paul, tell me about the idea for And Now This, the title and the idea for the album. Is there a, you've mentioned that the songs are in, you know, the sequence that they are in. Are they, is it a story? Is it a, do they need to follow a sequence? Is there an overall theme? And what is that with And Now This, your latest album?
That's a good question, Jeremiah. Let's see. The latter part of it, I'm going to answer with, so I have a great manager. Her name is Andy Howard. Of Andy Howard Entertainment and in California. So I've just been with her almost since day, like from my third CD on. So she's done many, she's been there right hand in hand with all the CDs since then. So anyway, she's like, after we get them all, when we turn the music in, I like some, the first ones that she'd done, I would like any given producer, like we have, like we'll write down, like, man, if they would do this sequence, it would be just so dope, you know. But like she takes the reins and like arranges it, sequences it herself. So it's so, and she does it so well that I don't even have to worry about it. She just sequences it, and so Andy Howard sequenced the record, this one as well, and she just put it in the order, and it just kind of just tell a story. I don't know how she does it, but just roll with it, and like it comes out beautiful. So
thank you, Andy.
Go Andy. So you know, hey, it takes a team. So she put it in the order, and like it kind of just have a flow to it, and like I like the way she put like good night at the end. Good night.
Yeah, I do too. Well, I apologize to her. I don't know if I played them in order. I should have asked the question before I put together the soundtrack. Then we're playing, obviously, at the very end here, upcoming in just a moment, the entire single Straight to the Point, because it's so hot right now. And so, but I could say goodnight after at the very end. Paul, I have one final question for you, because it does take it, you know, you do have a great team there, and it sounds like you know, you're very loyal, and you find people that the great people, you've surrounded yourself with great people, and it works. It's worked very well for you in your career, and for the music that you've gifted all of us, all the listeners here. But you have a long-term relationship with a working relationship with Brian Monroney. Can you tell us a little bit about him and how that started, and I know that you worked on this album with him.
Absolutely, glad to do that, and very observant on you, my man, for noticing that, because he's been on a lot of my, he's been on last several of my CDs. So now, besides that, there's not a really great big story on him, but there is a basically how I know about him. He's through my producer Dino Esposito. Dino knows him, and so I had never met him before. And so when he started recording on the, he's probably like the last six albums at least. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Dino would like, you know, Dino like the producer, like, you know, obviously the producer is like the person that keeps everything in control and like, you know, keeps everything like, you know, gets, makes everything happen and like calls musicians and, you know, gets the times and gets the studio time and all that. And then obviously does all the, you know, works with the artists and all that and gets it all together, helps get it all together. So Dino got like, Dino found Brian for me, you know, for us, and just like great guitar player. So he, his background from what I saw, I did get a chance to meet him one time, in Las Vegas. He came to, I guess he was in Vegas at a certain time, and I got to see him on track one of our songs. And so he played with Engelbert Humperdinck.
Mm, wow.
He was Engelbert Humperdinck's guitarist. And so just a kick butt guitar player. So that's pretty much the story on Brian Monroney. So we've had him on every single CD, and he's on and Now This as well. And then I did notice, like on Epic Dream, he is not on Epic Dream. There's another gentleman on Epic Dream, but Brian is there for like last several CDs. So
anybody else that you'd like to thank or mention before we say goodbye? And we've teased the listener long enough. We've got to play this single for you.
Oh my God. Like obviously hands down to Dino Esposito, my partner and producer. We wrote these songs together, all except for one cover song. It's really cool. Write it. It's like kind of more a club kind of song, but Yeah, shout out to Dino Esposito, Andy Howard Entertainment. You probably know Cheryl Forrestein. Yep. That got us hooked up, Cheryl. My publicist.
Hi, Cheryl.
hi, Cheryl. And, of course, Peak Records and BFD, on just the record label, distributing this this new disc. And
don't forget the Academy. Don't forget the Academy.
Yeah, will be one day that'll happen.
You know it.
But, all
mom,
the fans,
don't forget mom.
Know, fans, I mean, that happened too by listening and you know, other voting members, whatever. But all the fans, of course, shout out to everybody, and I hope you just keep discovering this new album. And I'm really happy with it. It's the best work as of this date and stuff. And
are you on tour at all soon?
Absolutely, I've been on tour. I've definitely been on tour all through this. This you know, we got it going like maybe from April or May on, like it just kind of opened up. It started just gradually opening up from the pandemic, and so I've been gigging pretty steadily, and especially the last 2 months.
Yeah, and listeners can check you out your schedule on your website as well.
Absolutely. So like December's a little bit, you know, we're done. I played 2 weeks ago in Philly. That was the last for December. So we'll kick it back up in on January 7th. Going to Yoshi's in Oakland.
Oh, nice. Very famous jazz club. Very nice. Cool. Well, maybe I'll try to get up there and see you, Paul. I love the album. Thank you so much for the gift of your music and this new album. Thank you for spending time with us. And we've teased you long enough. As I said, we're now going to play for you from the new album by Paul Taylor called And Now This. This is Straight to the Point. Communicate, listen more, and evolve. Have a great week, everybody.
You've been listening to The Jeremiah Show. I am Miles Zuniga from Fastball, and you can find me every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at facebook.com/MilesZunigaLovesYou. I do a live stream. I'd love to see you there. Thank you.
Hi, this is comedian Maz Chobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara. Listen, man.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at hjlrestaurantadvisors.com. Check out our website at thejeremiahshow.com. We are on SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes, podcast The Jeremiah Show. Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify, The Jeremiah Show. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the airwaves at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dr. D. Dugan's Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to The Jeremiah Show with Dr. D. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at thejeremiahshow.com. Follow us on Instagram at The Real Jeremiah Show. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound engineer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Communicate. Listen more. Evolve.
Beautiful sky has my friend fire. The clouds will search the